All right, I do want to say good Wednesday evening to everyone. Just want to welcome you to the house of the Lord. And we are so thankful to be here tonight, so excited to be in the Lord's house and how God has been so good to us. He's blessed us beyond all that we could ever imagine. We give Him all praise and all glory for everything. So we just want to go to Him in prayer. We realize the very fact that we can be here tonight is a great, great blessing. And we just are going to praise Him and thank Him for His goodness in our lives. So we know you have needs. We also know that those watching on Liberty Live have needs. We welcome you as you watch tonight. We just ask that you would share this, pass it on, let somebody else see this and be a part of this this great thing the Lord is going to do here tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for all of your many blessings. Thank you for the love you've given us. Thank you, Father, for your mercy. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, our Savior. And now, Lord, we just want to pray for this service tonight. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, I pray you'll touch them, help them, encourage them, lift their burdens and meet their needs. And Father, we acknowledge you as the God of heaven and the God of all the ages. And so, Father, we worship you tonight and you alone. We thank you for creation around us that you've given us, and we acknowledge you as being our Redeemer, the author and finisher of our faith. So, Lord, work through us tonight. Take your word, speak to our hearts, and God will give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'll take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We are again looking at some of the parables of our Lord. And Matthew has quite a few of those. And we're looking in Matthew 12, verse 43. That's where we will begin tonight. Matthew 12, verse 43. And when I hear the pages stop turning, we will begin to read the text. But I want you to think on this thought tonight. I want you to think about seven spirits and a swept house. Seven spirits and a swept house. So look with me at this parable, verse 43. And the Lord says this, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. And then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goes he and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation." So we find in this parable, Jesus gives this teaching of a heavenly truth he's wanting us to understand. And so he puts beside it this earthly story. An earthly story is this, is that this man's got a house. The house is occupied. This demon leaves the house, and the man comes in and he cleans the house, but he leaves it, he does not furnish it again. He leaves it empty. And so when the demon comes back and sees that it's empty, he goes and gets seven other demons and brings them back. And they occupy the house. And the Bible says the last state of that man is worse than the first. So it's an interesting story that we read and that we hear. And so our Lord, he dives in. He is not afraid of demons or teaching about demonology. But he dives into that frightful topic, this frightful subject of demons, and particularly here, demon possession. Now, let me say something just again. I've preached this enough. I hope you know this, but the Bible is very clear. So the church and believers as individuals, we cannot be demon possessed, because once we have been saved by God's grace, we have by faith put our trust in the work of Jesus Christ, the fact that he died for us, rose again, and rose in victory. So we've put our faith in Jesus for our salvation. And so when we do that, we become indwelt by the Spirit of God. So no demon can possess us as believers. Now, however, as believers and the church, the work of the church and believers, we can be oppressed by demons. In other words, we can be influenced by demons. I'm trying to think of a better word here. When we're thinking about spiritual warfare, we can constantly be harassed by demons and even led by demons if we get in the flesh. But we cannot be possessed by demons because we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. So I wanted to clarify that. And so one of the things we're looking at here too in this parable is we are looking at, I guess what we might say in the case of this man in this parable here, we're looking at a case of reformation without regeneration. So this man had been possessed by a devil. The devil had been cast out of this man. Well, the man just does a little housekeeping, but that's all he does, a little reformation. And see, when a man or woman gets saved and born again, then there's regeneration takes place. Now, that's a Bible doctrine we hold to, the doctrine of regeneration. And here's what regeneration says and what it is. It is the new birth that Jesus mentions in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, that a man must be born again. It's the new birth. I think over in Romans, maybe Romans chapter 12, Paul speaks about you and I being a new creation in Christ Jesus. See, when God saves a man, he radically changes a man. And so all of the old. See, this is where we get it mixed up. Sometimes we try to get people to clean their life up first, and then we try to get them to Jesus. I'll never forget my second pastorate. I don't know, hadn't been there too long, but a guy comes one Wednesday night, obviously looking for the Lord. And he's there as a visitor on Wednesday night, and you can tell he's searching for something. I can't remember exactly how he got there. But when he come in, he's wearing a baseball cap. And he comes in and he sits down with a baseball cap on. Now, let me just say a few things about that. Look, when I was in high school, like you still, when you went into buildings, you took your hats off. And that was just a matter of reverence and respect. By the time I was teaching college level criminal justice at a high school campus, well, they could wear hats up and down the hallway. So things have changed, but there still is a place of reverence. God's house is a place of reverence. It's a place we do reverence. But this guy come in with a hat on, a ball cap, and he didn't take it off. And there was a longtime member of that church. It made him so mad that really before the service got started, he got up and went over there and told and said something to that man about it, that you got to take your hat off. And that man got up and he left. And I don't think we ever seen him come back to church again all the days that I was there. I didn't even get the man's name. But see, we try to clean people up before we get them to the Lord and let the Lord do all that. So we're talking about the difference in reformation versus regeneration. Regeneration is where God saves a man and changes a man. He changes his desires. He changes his want tos. He changes the path of his feet, the deeds of his hands, the words of his lips, and the thoughts of his mind. So that's the Lord. And so we see that in this text. But one of the things I want us to look at as we look at this very frightful case, I can't think of another word than that, of demon possession. We've got to understand how serious that this realm of spiritual warfare is in which we live, and the seriousness and the frightfulness of demons. Now remember, when Satan fell from heaven in Isaiah, one third of the stars in heaven fell with him. One third of the messengers, the angels, if you will, fell with him, and they became his demons. They became his soldiers that he would send out. So there's one devil, one Satan, but he has got many, many workers all over. And we see the demon-possessed man in the cemetery. He was possessed by a legion. 6,000 demons were assigned to this one raving lunatic. So imagine how many demons hell must assign to a Bible-believing church. Now, you don't think it's warfare being part of a Bible-believing church. Boy, you better come again because it's warfare to be a Bible-believing church. How many demons must hell assign to sold-out believers who are interested in doing something for the Lord? So this is a very frightful thing. Somebody just this week mentioned to me yesterday that if we could see what was going on all around us, if we could see the unseen, we would all fall over dead with heart attacks. And that is so true. Like science fiction in Hollywood has never made a science fiction movie as frightful as what we would see if God pulled back the veil of eternity and give us eyes, just purely spiritual eyes, and let us see the warfare that's raging around us. I've got a picture back in my office, back in my study, that shows a pastor standing in the pulpit. And if I remember the way the painting is, behind him are some of the saints of old, but surrounding him while he is standing and preaching is just a band of God's holy angels defending him and fighting for him while he stands, because the demon possession and demon oppression is very, very frightful, and it ought to sober us up. And so Jesus is talking about this. Well, one of the things I want you to notice about this text, we do see some insight into demonology as Jesus tells us this parable. So number one, I want you to notice this. I want you to notice that demons are very restless. Demons are very restless. So this demon, he gets cast out of this individual, this house. And just because he's cast out doesn't mean he stops work. I mean, really, in our everyday average Baptist church, if somebody doesn't shake our hand on Sunday morning, why, we're ready to quit and resign and find another church. Or if somebody doesn't notice our new dress and say something about it, well, then we're probably going to stop coming to the regular meetings at the church. But demons are not like that. Demons are very restless. They have got to have something to do. And this demon leaves, and he's looking for something to do, and he's looking for something to do, and he's looking for something to do. And it's not just, and when we read this, it's not just that he's looking to stay busy playing golf on the golf course. No, he's looking for somebody to possess or oppress. So he gets cast out. Demons are very restless. We see that in this text. He's going all around. He's looking to and fro because he's restless. I can promise you this, that just as sure as if we look at, take a picture of God's people in the church, you're going to find out that many of God's people are, especially in today's modern church in America, they're very lazy. They're very apathetic. We come in the doors and of the church at 11 o'clock sharp, or here 10 o'clock sharp, and we leave at 11 o'clock dull. And if there's people here that are lost, well, that's fine. And if they leave lost, well, that's fine. We're going to go on to the restaurant and eat up and go to the lake on Sunday afternoon. And so we're very apathetic. We're very relaxed. We're very comfortable in American Christianity. And we don't care if there's a spirit of revival. We don't care if God pours it. If we don't care if God heals hearts or doesn't heal hearts. We don't care if people get help or not get help. As long as I've come and checked my name off the list for attendance on Sunday, and then we go home, then we're just happy. Are you with me? I mean, I can preach straight and quick to the Wednesday night crowd, right? Okay. But I want you to understand something. Demons are not like that. I want you to know they're very task-oriented. They're very, very goal-oriented. They've been given an assignment from their master, Satan, and they are going to go and they are going to accomplish that purpose and that task without fail. And they're very restless. We see, number one, they're not going to sit down. They're not going to take a break. They're not going to take a little time off from church. I heard somebody say that a while back. Well, me and my wife, we've taken some time off from church and the organized church. Well, then you have just violated the Word of God, because Jesus said that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Book of Hebrews. That means when we gather together, everybody that's part of the church ought to be here. That's what the Bible says. And to not subscribe to the Bible is to be disobedient to the Bible and God's Word. But listen, demons, they are not going to take a break. They are relentless. They are restless, number one, but number two, they are relentless. Watch what this demon does. So he's wandering about, going to and fro, trying to find somebody to possess or oppress. And apparently he's having a momentary slip in his mission. He's having a momentary time when he can't exactly jump right back into the battle as he has been assigned to accomplish. So the Bible says this. The Bible says then he goes to dry places. You want you to think about that just for a minute. A believer who is spirit-filled, drinking from the fountain every day, walking hand-in-hand with the Lord, prayed up, filled up, yes, he can become victim to demon oppression. Absolutely. A demon can influence him. But if he's prayed up, filled up, walking hand-in-hand with the Master in prayer and through the study of God's Word, equipped with the sword of the Lord, then the likelihood of a demon oppressing him is probably not very good, because he's hand in hand, step in step with the Master who leads him, and the Lord is greater than the devil and any demon of hell. However, when that believer starts going through some hard times, boy, that's the moment you strike. When that believer starts going through some valleys, the Bible specifically says here, dry places. So when that believer no longer walks hand in hand with the Lord, no longer getting filled up on the Lord's Word, no longer being prayed up so that you're hand in hand with the Master every day, when that believer goes through tough times and deep valleys and through some dry places, that's when the demons know. That's when the demons are aware. That's why this demon went to these dry places. And so listen, it used to be a tactic among the military, among the U.S. Army, an unspoken tactic. But rather, and the enemy used this a lot in various conflicts we've been through, but rather than just shoot a soldier and kill a soldier, what they would do is they would shoot a soldier, intentionally shoot him to wound him. Because when a wounded soldier is laying on the ground, then another soldier has to come out to either rescue him, get him out of harm's way, or perform some kind of life-saving measures on that soldier. And so the enemy, he knows when you're down. He knows when you're going through hard times. He knows when you're going through struggles. He knows when you're going through burdens. He understands this. He knows this. He is aware of this. And so this demon, I want you to understand, number one, demons are restless. They are not going to take a break. They are not going to rest. I love this crowd in the church, the modern church in America today, that says, you know, I've done my time serving here and there, and now I'm just going to kind of sit back and put things on autopilot and on cruise for a while because I've already served on all those things. Like there's a place to take a break in the Christian life. That's not Bible. Moses was 80 when God called him to ministry. And my grandpa literally was about 90 when God called him to a new ministry. And he stepped out and he began that ministry. And so there's no place to take a break. Devils, they are restless. They're not taking a break. And so while the modern church of America is taking a break and lying back on her laurels and doing nothing and deciding to just go with the flow for a while, I want you to understand hell has not stopped and taken a break. They are restless, the demons of hell are, but they're also relentless. I mean, they are going to look and look and look and go and go and go until they can find somebody. And if they can't get the spirit-filled, Bible-carrying believer, then they're going to look for the believer who is backslidden, who's in a valley, who's walking in dark places, who's walking in dry places, who's dry on the inside. And so they are relentless. They will not stop until they find somebody to possess or oppress. My goodness, the church could really learn from hell and all of its armies. We really could. And so not only are demons restless, and not only are they relentless, here's the scary thing to me. But, and there are several aspects we could preach about this. I'm trying to just stay where God gave me tonight. Here's the very frightful thing is that demons return. You need to write that one down. Number three, demons return. So demons oppress the believer, oppress the believer. They harass, they attempt to lead us astray. They attempt to get us detoured. They attempt to get us sidetracked. They lure us with their own temptations. They bring new temptations to us. They try to deceive us. They deceive the church. In fact, that is one of the ministries of demons is deceiving spirits. We find that their master in chief, the devil himself. I mean, he's the deceiver. Satan, the deceiver, Diablo. And so they try to deceive the church. That's why today we've got these mega churches all across America who only preach part of the Bible and they don't preach the whole Bible. And they're deceiving thousands. They're deceiving tens of thousands of people because they're not preaching repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. And friend, that's the whole story, as Paul Harvey would say. That's the rest of the story. Yes, God is good. Yes, God is full of grace. Yes, God wants to bless you. Yes, God wants to pour His favor out upon you. Yes, God wants to pour goodness out upon you. But for a man to come into relationship with the Lord, it takes more than just being baptized. It takes repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and making Him Lord of your life. So the devils, they return. The demons, they will return. They're never going to leave a believer alone. They're never going to leave the church alone. They are going to they're restless. They've got to find somebody to possess or oppress. They are relentless. They will go to any depths to find a believer who they can minister their ministry to. And then we see what this man did. This man's problem was this. Like he cleaned up the house. Swept out all the garbage, but he never furnished it with something in its place. See, that's the kicker. See, he had to put something back in there where it had been cleaned out and set free. What would that have been? I don't want to walk through this step by step. I'm just going to jump into it and tell you. What that man needed was he needed the Word of God inside of him. That's what he needed. That's where the victory's at. He needed the Word of God inside of him. He needed the Spirit of God inside of him. He needed convictions. And he needed God's Spirit as a compass to lead him. He needed feet that would go in the path of God. And so he just left his insides empty. And he didn't replace it with anything. And that's why you see people all through my ministry, people coming, trying to get their life right. And all they're trying to do is just empty their life of bad things. Number one, that's the wrong order. Because what Paul said is that they turned, the church at Thessalonica, they turned to God and then from idols. And so, see, it doesn't work the other way. You can't get rid of everything and try to clean the house first. You got to fill it up with the Lord first and He'll crowd out everything else and clean that house. And that's what the Lord does. And so I've seen all through my ministry people coming in here and there and here and there, and they're trying to get their life right, and they're trying to clean their life right, trying to clean their life up, but they don't never fill themselves back because they've done it in the wrong order. One, you grab a hold of the Lord first, and then He'll help you get rid of idols in your life, whether it be drugs, alcohol, pride, lust, whatever the case may be. You get a hold of the Lord first. And then let the Holy Spirit begin to lead you and fill you and strengthen you with the Word of God. And then those other things will leave. And so demons will eventually return. You can guarantee it. If the church under demonic oppression is going through a battle and we get through that battle, we need to enjoy what little moments of peace that we will have, because if we're going to continue to be a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church, then I can promise you that demons will return and oppression will return. And it's the same way with the believer. And listen, you can say, thank God I've got victory over this in my life and I'll never have to struggle with that again. Well, I thank God with you that you've overcome something and you got victory in your life. But hang on, because the demon will come back. The demon will come back trying to oppress you as a believer. Or for unbelievers, it is possess. And so the demons return, but then what we see in this case here is the demons repossessed this man's life. So this man was obviously an unbeliever. And the demon had been cast out. And repossession occurred. Now here, watch what happens, though, as far as demon possession goes. This demon, he knew. He knew. He was so smart. He said, I got kicked out of the house one time. But I can guarantee you I won't get kicked out again. I'm bringing some friends this time. And he goes and he gets seven demons. And he brings them back. And they go in and they occupy this place. And that's why the Lord says the end of that man is worse than his beginning was. The beginning he had one demon and now he's got eight demons. And so demons are very intellectual. They're extremely smart. And I'm not giving more credit to them than they deserve. I think you have to understand the enemy if you're going to be a soldier. But I will say again that the devil is very strong and the demons are very strong. And I want to say that they're stronger than me and they're stronger than you. But they're not stronger than a God who sits on his throne, and they're not stronger than the Lord Jesus who overcame death on the cross and the grave and come out of that grave and has ascended into heaven where he intercedes for us and he prays for us and he pleads our case before the Father in heaven as a lawyer. And so the devil is not more powerful than the Lord Jesus Christ. And I acknowledge that he's stronger than me and he's stronger than you and he's stronger than this church, but he's not more strong than the Lord who established this church and who is Lord of this church. So they repossess. So that demon says, I'm not going to get kicked out again. When I go back, I will be sure. I will be sure that expulsion won't happen again. And he takes seven others with him, the Bible says. And Jesus makes this statement at the end of that text. He says, even so shall it also unto this wicked generation. Even so shall it be also to this wicked generation. I think one of the things the Lord is alluding to here is this, is that as time goes on and gets closer to the coming of Jesus in the air for the rapture of the church, this demonic activity is going to increase and increase and increase. And the thing is, so much, I want to stress again, so much of what we see on the news and we hear around us, we are just writing it off to this or to that. We're writing things off like school shooting. We're putting that off on gun control laws. And then we're putting it off on mental illnesses and things like that. But friend, I want you to understand something. Somebody that can walk into a school and gun down kindergartners and first graders like they're ducks on a pond, that's far greater than any gun control issue, and it's far greater than any kind of mental illness. That's a classic example of demon possession is what that is. So demon possession is very relevant and very rampant in America today. I believe that with everything that is within me. But we tend to write it off to this or to that. We have to look at all of the woes of society under the umbrella of spiritual warfare. And we got to see, is this the devil operating? Is this the devil working? And I've seen that before personally. And a lot of what we see on the news, I'm telling you, it's just classic demon possession. And it should be a very frightful thing to us. It should be something we pray against. It is something we should plead for the protection of the Lord for. It is something we need to plead the blood over, is to protect, God, protect your people, protect your church. Because it's not our church, it's his. If it's ours and we got to take care of it on our own, then we got to fight for it on our own. But if it's his, then he defends us. And so we've got to pray, Lord, protect us. Protect us from the wiles of the devil. Protect us from the engagement of demons attempting to oppress God's people and the church. Because I want to tell you something, he's going to get weak believers. believers who are either just babies because they've never experienced, they've never taken the step to spiritually grow and get off the milk, as Paul said, or not just babies, but also believers going through hard times, just tough times, dry places. I mean, the demons are coming to oppress those individuals because they're easy targets. They're easy targets. So we've got to be on guard. We've got to be aware. Yes, believers are going to go through valleys. Yes, they're going to go through dark times. Yes, they're going to go through dry places. But listen, if we're going to go through those times and those places, let's at least go through them while we're taking the word and equipping ourselves day to day, and while we're walking in prayer hand in hand with the Lord, so we can avoid classic demon oppression. And so seven spirits and a swept house. We see here this parable, maybe and possibly and probably one of the most frightening parables that our Lord had ever told, because he talks very plainly and gravely about demon possession, particularly, and demon oppression. It's very real. It was not something only real in the time of Jesus, but it is very, very real today in the world in which we live. So God help us as a church as we pray together, and as we pray as individuals, that we pray that the Lord would protect us, that we pray the soldier Psalm 91. We pray for legions of angels, of God's angels, holy angels, to surround us and to guard us and to protect us and to keep us at nighttime and daytime and all the hours in between, and that heaven's armies would surround our children wherever they go. And I've learned about my children, I'm just a worrier. And now they're grown, and both of them's almost gone. Elizabeth's married, Abigail's almost out of the house. So I've learned that I can't watch over them and protect them like I could when they were five, because at five they were right there with me all the time. And I had my hand on them, and they were in my house, but now it's not like that. And so I've just had to learn that when they take off, or as I get up in the mornings and I think about their day and what they're doing and where they're going and things like that, I'm just like, Lord, they're yours. They're in your hands. And Lord, you're just going to please surround them and keep them and protect them and guard them, not just physically, but spiritually as well, all throughout the day. So that's what we need to do, giving the frightful nature of what Jesus says about demons. Then as a church and as believers, we've got to pray. We've got to pray that the Spirit of God puts His hand on us and anoints us to be Spirit-filled believers every day, and that the power of God would surround us and we'd be equipped to recognize the enemy when he's working, and that we'd be equipped to stand and to do spiritual warfare in the name of the Lord and by the name. So we want to thank you for joining us on Liberty Live tonight. And I pray that your praying is different tonight when you go home and you lay down your head in bed. Thank you for joining us tonight. Stand up and go tell somebody that you love them tonight.